With WXPR News, I'm John Burton reporting. The Trump administration recently rescinded the central scientific finding that's the basis of much of the nation's climate pollution rules under the Clean Air Act. The endangerment finding is a 2009 scientific finding that six particular greenhouse gases cause significant harm to human health. Richard Keller is the Robert Terrell Professor and Chair of the Department of Medical History and Bioethics at the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health. He says the science has not changed in ways that the findings are no longer accurate. In fact, it's the opposite.
All of the science has backed the endangerment finding and more, indeed, indicating that climate change is something that poses extreme potential harm to human health, indeed actual harm to human health.
Keller says without the endangerment finding and pollution rules it imposes, there's no incentive for cities or manufacturers to focus and support clean energy. Combined with U.S. withdrawal from the Paris Climate Agreement or the recent order that federal agencies need to stop considering the economic damage of climate change, Keller said it will ultimately lead to increased air pollution and increase the dangers of climate change.
This means things like more frequent, more intense, and longer-lasting hurricane seasons, higher rates of flooding in vulnerable areas, like, for example, in North Carolina, which everyone thought was a climate haven before what happened in Asheville last year, and really the shrinking of those kinds of climate havens. Places like Wisconsin, where we always thought we were safe, are becoming increasingly vulnerable to climate change.
The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency is being sued by more than a dozen health and environmental groups over its decision to rescind the endangerment finding. Some teens still feel the lingering impacts of the COVID-19 pandemic on their mental health. Tisha Slater, an Aspirus behavioral health counselor, says about 1 in 3 teens are struggling with signs of depression and anxiety.
What we're seeing after the pandemic is that they're still missing some of those primary milestones. They did, you know, the social withdrawal, the not attending class. We're seeing a lot of depression still, a lot of anxiety still. And it's just affecting their connectedness with other people.
Digital exposure is another concern as social media reinforces unrealistic standards, adding to anxiety. Slater says just checking in with kids can make a big difference.
Caregivers, teachers, family, friends, the best thing we can do is just ask them how they're doing, forming connection, providing space. And when they ask for help, help them seek those resources.
Slider says starting the conversation early and working with a primary care provider can help teens get the support they need. World Teen Mental Wellness Day was observed March 2nd. Upcoming candidate forums will give voters the opportunity to learn more about who is on their ballots. Tonight, Northern Lights Indivisible is hosting a forum for the candidates running for the Democratic nominee in the 7th Congressional District. It's from 6 to 7:30 at the Pines Events Center in Rhinelander. Tomorrow, the Rhinelander High School Student Council, in partnership with the League of Women Voters of the North Woods, is holding a candidate forum for the school board. The forum will take place from 6 to 7:30 in the Superior Diesel Tiered Classroom at Rhinelander High School. Doors will open at 5:30, and attendees are encouraged to arrive early to submit written questions for the candidates. Next week, on Thursday, March 12th, WJFW and WXPR are hosting a Rhinelander mayoral candidate forum. It starts at 7 p.m. at the Nicolay College Theater. People are welcome to come and ask questions of the candidates. Also on March 12th, the League of Women Voters of the North Woods and WJMT Radio will host a mayoral candidate forum. It's at the North Woods Veterans Post at 6:30 p.m. and is open to the public. You can find more details about all of these forums at WXPR.org. Just look for this article. Critics predict new Medicaid work requirements could make it harder for families to get the caregiving support they need. Crystal Blair reports.
As new Medicaid work requirements move forward, groups that advocate for caregivers warn that changes could make it harder for caregivers and the people they support to keep the coverage they rely on. Jamie Walker is with Caring Across Generations, a national group focused on caregiving and aging issues. She explains why her organization opposes the Medicaid work requirements, which require people to prove they're working in school or volunteering at least 80 hours per month to keep their Medicaid coverage.
This care is something that's essential, and the incorporation of a work requirement creates additional barriers for folks who are really just trying to get quality care.
The requirements are set to go into effect next year. Supporters contend that adding work or community engagement requirements could encourage labor force participation and help ensure that Medicaid is reserved for those who truly need it, potentially reducing overall federal spending and waste in the system. Crystal Blair reporting.
A former Marshfield school board candidate accused of multiple felonies had a plea entered for him to some of the charges on Monday. Mike Leichner reports.
Matthew Sampson did not speak during the hearing, and a judge entered a not guilty plea on his behalf for charges in two of the three open cases against him. The 41-year-old is accused of threatening himself and a woman with a gun during an argument earlier this year and kicking a child in the stomach, leading to domestic abuse, child abuse, and strangulation charges, which were covered in the plea. It did not cover two counts of child sexual assault. He'll plea for those charges next week. Sampson is being held on a $500,000 cash bond. He finished 7th in February's school board primary election and will not be on the April ballot.
That was Mike Leichner reporting. For WXPR News, I'm John Burton reporting.